truly a blessed church in many ways, and all the different people that are involved in the special music and the instruments and things like that. Many times churches do not have enough, and we have an abundance for the size of our church, and very thankful for all the things that, all the hard work that people put in when it comes to our special music. Romans chapter number 12. And so that title tonight's message, we're going to kind of continue on in our series about knowing and understanding the will of God. And tonight's message is God's will concerning His Word. God's will concerning His Word. And we're going to start off continuing the introduction a little bit, and the idea about this word of proving and trying the Word of God, and finding things out for themselves and through what the Bible says. We heard this morning about Eli, and we heard about Samuel. We looked at two different characters, two completely different characters at the levels that they were at. We see Eli was there, and God had given him a commandment. God had given him His word. God had spoke to his heart, and he let those words just kind of slip through his fingers. They fell to the ground. He didn't apply them to his life, and because of that, we saw the troubles with Hophni and Phinehas, and we also, because of that, we saw the trouble inside the nation. On the other side of the spectrum, we saw Samuel at that moment in time as a young man ministering unto the Lord before Eli. Even in, during a dark time, wicked time, but God gave him word, God spoke to him, and he did not hide any of those words. He was willing to not let any of those words fall to the ground. Instead, he was someone who took the word of God and took it seriously and preached the word of God or told the word of God, and God established him as a prophet throughout the whole nation, and God blessed Israel for a number of years from that point on, too. So how does that apply to our life? How do we get the application? This morning, it was mostly about, let's hear from the Lord, that God wants to speak to each and every one of us. He wants to speak to us individually. He wants to speak to us in a way that we can understand what His Word is trying to say. He speaks to us through His Word. He speaks to us through prayer. He speaks to us through preaching. He speaks to us through circumstances. And so tonight, as we continue to think about how can we know and understand the word, the will of God, we come to some more passages of Scripture, and we're gonna turn a little while, a couple more times here, just to keep on proving this point that this is something God desires for us to do. God desires that we would prove, that we would try, that we would hold fast to those things that are good. And at the end of that, we're going to look at what we're going to do with the Word of God. Some things are written clearly. Some things are specifically said, this is what you should do. Other things, there's a little bit more testing, a little bit more trying, there's a little bit more understanding and seeking. But when it comes to the Word of God, it's pretty clear what He wants us to do. He wants us to read it. He wants us to study it. He wants us to meditate in it. He wants us to apply it. He wants us to obey it. He has given us His Word to be profitable for us. That's pretty simple. So why do we have to hear a message about it then? Are you going to let it slip through your hands, or is it something you're going to lift up? Is it something that, just like Eli, he let it slip? Eli had the chance, and I think Eli, for a period of time, I think for the 40 years that he judged, I bet you for a portion of time, he wasn't that bad. And Samuel wasn't perfect, because if you go to 1 Samuel chapter number 8, you see that Samuel's sons did something similar like Hophni and Phinehas did. So I'm not lifting up Samuel, but what we know about Samuel is he held up the word of God. He was the one that looked at Saul and told him to obey is better than sacrifice, because Eli and his sons kept on doing the sacrifices over and over and over. And Samuel saw the hypocrisy of that. And Samuel saw the blessing of obedience, the blessing of taking what was said and giving back what was said and not compromising. But he saw what the hypocrisy had done to his nation. And he looks at Saul and he says to Saul, look, obedience is better than sacrifice. You can sacrifice all you want, but if your heart isn't right, then God despises that. So I'm wondering, when God gives us His word and He tells us His word, are we gonna just let it fall to the ground, or are we gonna lift it up? So when we seek to know and understand the word of God or the will of God, it starts with some basic things. And one of those things is, how do we handle the Scriptures? Are we going to let it fall right through our hands and not apply it? Or are we going to take it and apply it to our lives? So let's continue to build this case for proving and understanding the will of God. Look what it says in Romans chapter 12, some very familiar verses in verses 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, he's speaking to believers, by the mercies of God, he is giving us this argument, and he's giving us this case of what we should do, beseeching, begging in a sense, by the mercies of God, not based off our talents or abilities, but the mercy that God has showed to us already, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. So what does that mean? We need to figure out what God's will is. We should present our bodies a living sacrifice. This is what I want. I want what God wants with my life. Here it is, Lord. You can have it. So like we mentioned this morning, find out what the Lord will of the Lord is, then do it. God, if you want me to go fight a giant, I'm in. If God, if you want me to be faithful in church, I'm in. God, if you want me to be a soul winner, just tell me who to talk to. Now, we don't act like that, but that's what the idea of presenting my body as a living sacrifice. Here's my next 24 hours, God. You know what my life's going to look like. You know what I'm going to face. You know what I'm going to deal with. Tell me what you want me to do. Show me, lead, and direct. I'm presenting my life to you today, Lord. I am a living sacrifice. If you don't want me to sleep, okay. If you don't want me to eat, okay, that's what you want. If you want me to be nice to someone I don't like, Lord, I need to hear from you. And then a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. And then this is the phrase I think that most of us would get kind of, which is a reasonable service. Because when we think about us presenting our body as a living sacrifice, we think we've done it. We've reached the ultimate goal. We can't go any farther. But he says, that's just reasonable. When you consider what he's done for us by the mercies of God, there is nothing that he can ask us to do that would be too much. One old preacher used to say, he says, because of what he's done for me, there's nothing that he could ask of me that would be too much. It's amazing. That's how we should look at it. But often we keep our own things to ourselves. But is that the will of God? Verse number 2 is the verse that gives us this idea of the proving. It says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. There's something that is going to shape your mind, something that is going to shape your life, something that is going to shape what you do. There is one thing, we're going to let this world conform us, or we're going to let the word of God conform us. And then there's this phrase, that ye may prove. What is that? Good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That word prove, it means to test. It means to, by implication, to approve of something, to allow by discernment. You think about what that word good, it says to prove, which is, what is that good? That good means something that is beneficial, acceptable, fully agreeable, well-pleasing God, perfect will of God. That word perfect is talking about a completeness, understanding that this is what God's will is for my life. One preacher put it this way, talking about that verse, it says, a proving, testing mindset is at the heart of biblical separation. If the believer is not testing this culture, he is being conformed to it. The separated Christian is continually testing everything that's around him by the word of God, so as not to be conformed to this world, but to be conformed to God's will. He's saying when he looks at culture and culture brings something new, culture says this is what we should do. We look at the Word of God and we compare it to the Word of God. So instead of letting culture conform what we should look at and culture to conform what we're acting like and what we should say and what we should do and what's okay and what's right and what's wrong, if we do not test culture, if we do not prove those things, he's saying over here, if you want God to develop your thinking, then you're going to go according to the will of God. If you're going to let man do it, culture is going to say, this is perfect. This is the acceptable thing. This is what you should be doing. But when we look at scriptures, he's the one that tells us. And I know some people, what they might say and what they think, and even probably in some churches, would be like, preacher, you're being judgy. Doesn't the Bible say, judge not, lest you should be judged? And it doesn't, the Bible says that, but biblical illiteracy is really at an all-time high, especially even amongst professing Christians. Basic rules of biblical interpretation would help anyone understand, or at least people that want to know, Jesus' teaching in Matthew 7, and we might look at that, is it saying that we should not judge what is being done around us? No, it tells us over and over to prove, to try, to hold fast. What it's saying in that passage of Scripture, you should not judge hypocritically. A child of God must absolutely judge, test, prove, try, and discern all things by the Word of God if they want to allow the will of God to cause them to be conformed to the will of God. Is when we do not try, test, and prove the areas, every area of our life, we instead allow culture or our friends to conform us into what image they think we should be. It's a challenge. I understand that. But if we're really truly going to know and understand the will of the Lord, we have to understand He says He wants us to prove those things. Let's go ahead and take our Bible now to 1 John chapter number 4. 1 John chapter number 4, we have another passage of Scripture that proves the same point. You say, why are we hearing it again? Because I don't want people to be confused thinking, hey, that pastor is just judging other people. God in His Word tells us He wants us to try every spirit. He tells us to prove all things. He tells us in there to prove what is that perfect and acceptable will of God. He shows us those things that are good and acceptable and perfect will of God. 1 John chapter 4, 1 John is towards the back of your Bible. And He says it here, beloved. Once again, He's talking to a believer. A person who's unsaved is not going to be able to try because they don't have the Spirit of the Spirit of God living in them. They're not going to have the right litmus test. Beloved, believe not every spirit. He said, what do you mean? He says, you're not going to be able to believe everyone who says they come in the name of the Lord. But try the spirits, whether they are of God. And here's the thing. This is the reason why. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Not everybody has the name preacher or pastor beside them or apostle or whatever they call them. They're not all preaching from the same book. They do not have the same doctrine. And He says hereby, verse number 2, know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come. And even now already is it in the world. And so what He's saying here, He says this is the first proof test. What do you think about Jesus Christ? Was He God that became in the flesh? Yes, He's God's Son, but was He God that came in the flesh that died for the sins of mankind? Was He one that was, He was the Word, He was with God, He was God? If they don't have the right opinion about Jesus Christ, then we should not let those people conform, try to tell us how we should live. We should not allow them to give us influence and the idea of why we should do what we should do and what we shouldn't do. Why is that? You keep on going. Verse number 4, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. The Holy Spirit of God that lives in you is greater than anybody who's trying to pass off some type of false knowledge. And you can overcome them. It says that they are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. And that's when you see these that seem like they have great followings, but they don't believe in Jesus Christ, at least not the biblical Jesus Christ. And they say, well, they got all this crowd. They got all these people. It's because they're of the world, because they're going to allow the world to conform their thinking and what it should say and what it shouldn't say and what we should act like and what we shouldn't act like. And He says here, but the world's going to hear them, but we should not. And look at this next phrase. Next verse. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So as you consider this, there is a spirit of truth, a spirit of truth that lives within us, and then there's a spirit of error. That spirit of error is referring to the devil. That is someone who is leading and guiding. There, to be honest with you, truth, I mean, that spirit of error has just come and crept into our nation. Actually, it's probably invaded our world. It's invaded our nation. We must understand that that spirit of error that is talking about, that does not recognize who Jesus Christ is, has been woven into the fabric of our society, has become a part of our society, and there is not that much truth in our land. That we have the Word of God, we have preaching, but the media that shows these things, the people who influence our world in many ways, they have this spirit of error because they do not know the true and living God. And because of that, they speak of the things of the world. They're going to try to convince you of the things of the world. The world will hear them. But as a believer, we have the spirit of truth, and we must learn to discern and to separate and to prove and to try what is right and what is wrong. How do we know that? Is found right there in the Bible. And that's why when we come to this spot, knowing and understanding the will of the Lord, people sometimes think, I don't know if this is right. I don't know if it's wrong. So let's consider how we handle the Word of God. Before we start looking at issues that some people might say is controversial, am I holding on to the Word of God, or am I letting it slip through my fingers? Am I taking the truths that are found right here? He says I need to prove these things. He says I need to try these things. 1 Thessalonians 5:21 says, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. The word Antichrist is found here, and it talks about the spirit of the Antichrist. And the Antichrist is anything that is trying to take the place of Jesus, or trying to convince that there is not a Jesus. Means anything or anyone that is instead of or against Christ. Someone who tries to place him instead of Christ or against Christ, they are Antichrist, and they have the spirit of an error. And yes, the world will line up to hear them. The world will line up to do what they want and say what they want, so they do not have to bow the knee. But there is a day coming that they will bow the knee. But we as believers should bow the knee today and say, what is God's word? He says, prove all things and hold fast that which is good. Hold fast means to retain, to seize, proving what is that acceptable unto the Lord. We looked at last week in Ephesians chapter number 5 and verse number 10. But there are certain things that really aren't hard to prove. I think all of us would say, I know that's the Word of God. I know that's the Bible. I know I'm supposed to read it. I think all of us, if we would just basic Bible knowledge, would say, I know God wants me to memorize that. Some of us let that fall right through our fingers. I know God wants that to be my thinking, that to be my meditation day and night, but some of us just let that slip through their fingers. I know God wants me to take that and apply that and obey it, but there are certain things in it I just don't like and I don't want to agree with, and we're letting it slip right through our fingers. There is no sense to seek the Word of God when it comes to certain modern day topics and say, what does God's Word say about this, when we're not listening to God's Word today in the most basic thing on how we should handle the Word of God. Samuel says he didn't let any of his words fall to the ground. He did exactly what he was supposed to at that moment in that time. And I'm wondering how many of us really care about what God thinks about certain topics. I wonder how many of us really care what God thinks when it comes to our friends and our media. It cares about things about maybe how we should dress and the things we should listen to. Or maybe when it comes to our faithfulness, or when it comes to our giving, or when it comes to our serving. Do we really truly want to know the Word of God and understand the Word of God and the will of God? Then how do you handle the Scriptures? How you know certain things. Here it is. So here's some things that I think could be helpful and profitable. These are simple. These are not things that you're going to set. I never heard of that, because you've heard it before. But the question is, have you let it slip through your fingers? Are you really interested in what God's will is? Well, I would really like to know what God's will is when it comes to this topic that's a controversial one. No. What is God's will when it comes to His Word? Because once you establish this principle, you can start building upon and say, you know what, God's Word is important enough for me to learn from, and just keep on building upon that. So when you come across a topic that your heart is telling you, because culture has shaped your thinking, hey, you conformed your thinking when it comes to what culture is telling you, that the Word of God really doesn't mean that much to me. But when we put the Word of God at that high pedestal that it belongs, then when we come across topics, you say, well, that's what God says. I'm in. So here's 6 different things. We'll go through them quickly. God's will for us concerning His Word. The first thing is God's will for us according to His Word is to be profitable for our lives. God's will is for His Word to be profitable for our lives. God's will for His Word is to be profitable for our lives. What does that mean? He wants you to take it and use it. It's supposed to be profitable for you. This is something that He wants you to use. He did not write it and preserve it and keep it. People did not die all those times just so we could just have something we can carry into church on Sunday. It is written to be profitable for our lives, and even says in 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture, that's all of it, is given by inspiration of God, meaning it's God-breathed, it's written by God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So here's what He's saying. I want that Bible to be profitable for you. If we don't use it, it's not profitable for us. If it gets sits on the shelf, it doesn't become profitable. The Bible says that it's profitable. What's it profitable for? It's profitable for doctrine. It teaches us what we are to believe. It teaches us what the will of God is. It's profitable for reproof. It shows us when we are wrong. I don't like it, but when I'm shown that I'm wrong, I like getting it right. I don't like being reproved. I don't like being corrected. I don't like being told, hey, what you did there. But when someone corrects me, I think about it and I consider it. Maybe the first reaction isn't always the greatest, but the Holy Spirit can use correction to help teach us. And believe me, the Bible speaks a lot about what correction really looks like. And a person that can take correction and learn from correction is a wise man. The person who scorns that correction is someone that's called a foolish man. So not only is it there for doctrine, it's supposed to be teaching us what we believe. It's not just the preacher who's supposed to teach you those things. The Word of God itself teaches you those things. It shows us when we're wrong. Correction, it tells us how to get back on track when we are wrong. So it teaches us what we should believe, and then it says, hey, look, the Word of God, you're looking in the light. There's something wrong. There's something you need to change. Then it teaches us how to get correct. Now, I love that the Bible does that. So many times people will talk about all the problems, talk about all the things we need to change, this and that, but never tells us how to get it right. The Word of God teaches us that. It's supposed to be profitable. If someone gave us something, if someone gave you a vehicle, brand new car, said, here, this is going to be a great blessing to you, and if you never use it and let it sit there and rust and let it 20 years go by and you never put the key in the ignition, yeah, it might look pretty, but it's never been profitable for you because you don't use it. The Word of God is here, and he says, my will for you is that this word would be profitable in your life to teach you what you should believe, teach you when you're wrong, teach you when you need to be, how to correct it, but also it teaches you, it gives you instruction on how to remain in it. It says that instruction in righteousness. This is not only here's what you believe, should believe, here's when you got it wrong, here's how to get it right, and here's how to keep it right. And then it says that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto all good works, saying that this is here so you can know how to do good works. So it's important. What do you think God's will is for you when it comes to his word? He wants this to be profitable for you. Doesn't want it just to be something underneath your arm to make people think, hey, I got the right version of the Bible, and praise the Lord for that. And I think there is one version of the Bible that's right, and we're thankful for that. But at the same time, if you don't use it, it's not profitable for you. Second thing, God's will is for us to read his word daily. God's word is for us to read it daily. Once again, we have it here. We've known that. Okay, I know the Bible is supposed to be good and profitable for me. Am I going to let it slip through my fingers? If I don't read it on a regular basis or on a daily basis, I've let the will of God get slip right through my fingers. The truth has just gone through it, and it's something I don't apply. The Bible says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Job even says, I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. What does that mean? He means that it's more important than my daily food that I would eat. I esteemed it higher. It is his will that we would read his word daily. It is his will, the third thing, is God's will is for us to hear his word preached consistently. It's God's will that we would hear his word preached consistently. And that's why he says, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as a manner some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. We're supposed to come to church. That's his will. Why is that? Because he tells us that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, that we're supposed to be here, not just for the fellowship, not just for the opportunity to minister and to sing. It's to hear his word preached. That's what we're here to do. That's why we put an emphasis there. His will is that we would hear it preached consistently. And I would encourage you to listen to good Bible preaching, not heretics, not sometimes many of those guys that are on TV. But listen to good Bible preaching throughout the week. Preachers are not in competition. Some people think that, well, this preacher, no. You can learn a lot from good. And I would encourage you to keep with the Independent Fundamental Baptists, because usually they're going to use the right Bible, and usually they're going to have the right doctrine and things like that. When you start, and if you have a question about a preacher, hey, pastor, what do you think about this guy? If I have an opinion, if I know, I'll look it up. He said, why should you do that? He says to prove it. He says you to try it. He told you to hold fast that what is good. And if they're not teaching the right doctrine, that's not something you really need to be a part of. But good Bible preaching is something that I listen to on a regular basis. You say, Pastor, you listen to sermons? If I didn't, I wouldn't be doing what I should do. I wouldn't be doing what his will for me to do is. He wants me to hear good Bible preaching. I got to hear Brother Barnhouse 6 times last week, even though some of the times I was really tired and I was trying to fight to stay awake because it was a long week, and it was really good. But it's, you know, why is that? Because I need it. I need preaching. And that's, the Bible says that's his will, is that we would hear preaching. Not man's thoughts and man's opinions and man's philosophies, but the Bible and the Word of God that needs to be put in emphasis. It's his will that we would hear preaching consistently. Here's another one that I think many of us has let slip through our fingers. God's will is for us to meditate on his Word continually. And I know this one's a challenge, but it's, what do you think about? When the psalmist says, in his law doth he meditate day and night, what is it that we think about? It's the Word of God. As we mentioned this morning, it has drowned out a lot of, we've allowed things to drown so much out that if somebody is thinking biblically, they don't know how to respond. If they're thinking biblically and if someone comes up to you and wants to talk about scriptural things, you make you feel uncomfortable. Why is that? It's because it's not your meditation day and night. But he says, this is what I want. If you really, truly want to know what I want you to do, he says, I want you to let the Bible be profitable for you. The way it's profitable is by reading it daily and by listening to it preached consistently and by meditating on it. Joshua 1:8 says, the book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Then you're going to have the good success. If we would look at the things that we spend our time thinking about and worrying about, and those things that we are so upset about, or those things that we dream about, as we mentioned this morning, have we really ever dreamed of how much of the Word of God we can know by studying it? Is that a passion of ours that I could learn the Bible and let it be profitable for me? We can dream about being some great success, or we can dream about things that would give us pleasure. We can dream about this or dream about that relationship. But do we dream? Do we consider what the Word of God is quick, it's powerful, it can change my life. This is something that can make a huge difference and can be profitable for me. But we don't even open it up and we don't even read it like we should. He says, not only just read it, he says, I want you to memorize it. He says, I want you to meditate on it. This is what I want you to think about. Well, Pastor, who does that? The person who doesn't let it slip through their fingers. Because he's given us this Word, and I've been saved. Oh, wow, it's coming on almost 40 years now. Praise the Lord for that. But I don't know that book like I've been around for 40 years. It's a shame on me. I had so much opportunity, but I forsook his will when it comes to it different times in my life. I've been in the ministry now over 19 years here, and I missed it some. I had more opportunities than probably most to study in the Word of God, and I've let that will of his slipped right through. He says, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. It might not be prosperous in the world's eyes, but we're not letting the world conform what is success in our eyes. We're not letting the world conform what is prosperous. We're looking at the scriptures and we're saying, this is God's will. And God says, if you really want to know what I think success looks like, here it is. That you would meditate on the Word of God. That you would know the Word of God. Next thing. God's will is for us to study his Word regularly. To study his Word regularly. 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Being diligent to know what is right. And once again, you got that proving there. He says it over and over in the scriptures. He wants you to take the Word of God and understand what the Word of God is and apply it to our hearts and apply it to our lives. And I know there's principles. I know there's things that people would say, well, what about this and what about that? Do you have the heart of God? Do you have the mind of God? Is the Bible something that you study and you meditate and you memorize? Because remember, he speaks to our hearts about certain things. He leads us, he guides us, he directs us in every path. It's not trying to get up and try to study it out to try to prove a certain point. Instead, it's investing in the Word of God and looking into the Word of God and saying, God, what is your will? And applying the Scriptures and looking at the Scriptures as a whole. He desires, his will for us is that we would study it. I know some of us love certain topics. I've heard some people talk about politics quite a bit, and I know there are things that it's to be a good member, be a good citizen. I think you should know what's going on. I think you should be involved. I think you should vote, and I think you should vote according to your biblical principles, what the Lord's will is. Once again, we want to understand and know the will of God. I've heard people talk about sports, and that's what they study and what they know. I heard some people talk about all different types of things. But are we diligent with the Word of God? Last but not least, and I think this is probably the one that we let slip through our fingers the most, besides maybe meditating, is God's will is for us to apply, or you can put in parentheses, obey his Word faithfully. God's will is for us to apply his Word faithfully. It's to take the things we learn and apply to our hearts. That's where Eli messed up. And once again, I'm not picking on Eli. Eli had a tough job. It was a dark time. He did not understand Hannah, how Hannah could pray so passionately. But God specifically, we saw, he said, I told him. And he also had a man of God tell him. And he also had Samuel tell him. That the problem with his sons. But isn't that a challenge, though? Don't we love our kids so much we want to do what's right and best for them? And sometimes we think turning our head and ignoring what they're doing is what's best. But it's not. If we looked at last week, what is understanding, knowing the will of God? There is mercy and there is grace. Obviously, I'm thankful for his mercy. I'm thankful for his grace. He even talked about how last Sunday morning we talked about God pitieth us just like a father pitieth his son. And we talked about how he loved us and all those other things. But Eli did not take the Word of God and apply it to his own heart and life. He heard it. He did a portion of it. He went and said, nay, sons, don't do that. But he never said, get out of it. He never says, you're doing wicked. Either repent or leave. That's what he should have done. Now, is that easy for me to say reading the Bible? Of course it is. Yeah, we could preach hard about that. But let's apply it to our own life. This is what you should do. Are we doing a portion of it? Letting the rest slip right through? He desires that this book would be profitable. He desires that we would read it daily. He desires that we would listen to the preach. He desires that we would meditate on it. He desires that we would study it. But does that really have any effect if we don't obey it? I've seen some people live in sin before and get exposed later on. And these are people, I've even seen it happen to a few pastors and preachers, and you hate to hear that, but we're not hiding anything. They're public figures. What happened there is that they read it daily, I bet you. I bet you they had to listen to it continually, and they would meditate on it, and they would study it. But there was some time and point in their life that they stopped applying it. You say, what happens then? Well, it's sort of like that church of Ephesus. They lost their first love. And when they lost their first love, they started doing all these works, and all these works were done out of for the wrong reason, the wrong motivation. They had the right standards. They had the right way to correct people. They had this. It was a labor. They were patients. They did all those things, but they left their first love. There was a pastor that I heard preach a sermon. And it was something similar to the one in Thessalonians and Revelation. It was down at Crown College of the Bible. We went to visit, I think it was Joe Brock was there, and Brandon Cook, and maybe Kenny Allen was all there. There was a guy that got up there and he preached. And he preached about, and it was the first time I ever heard the correlation, Revelation chapter 2 and the book of Thessalonians, when it talks about labor, love versus labor. And it was years ago. And I found out about 10 years later, that pastor had committed suicide. He said, "Why?" Because he had an affair and he didn't want to have to face the world. It was easier just to leave. So how could that ever happen? It's because there was a day and a time and their moment that they stopped applying the word of God. They stopped obeying the word of God. And even though it was a very smart man, very good preacher, pastor at a large work, and I'm not trying to belittle him and his sins and his things, but there was a moment in time where he preached about, don't lose your first love. Don't lose your first love. You know, there's a labor versus a labor of love. There's a patience versus a patience of hope. And he preached about, make sure you stay in God's will. And then there was a day and a time when he said, I love this sin more than I love the Lord. And he committed the act of adultery. It was found out. And he committed suicide. And how does it happen? I think it happens at one point in time when we say, I just don't want to take God's word and apply it to this area of my life. And I don't know where it's happened for him. I honestly believe when I had heard him 10 years earlier, it was a powerful message and God used it in a special way and God was blessing his ministry. He wasn't, according to the story I heard, and it's not gossip, but I don't know all the details of it. He wasn't involved in that affair back then. It happened years later, but there was a time and a moment in his life, he said, that God's word does not apply to this area of my life. I'm going to do what I want. And that's what Eli did. He said, I'm willing to do all the rituals. I'm willing to do all these things as the judge, priest of the day, but there's something that doesn't apply. My family doesn't apply to. I can't do that to my sons. I can't correct them. I can't make them do what's right. I can't get... And what happens? They stopped applying the word of God to our heart. And this is something I think we let slip through our fingers sometimes is, this is what God wants me to do. I don't apply it to my own life. I don't think anybody would say they disagree with the fact that the Bible is supposed to be profitable. The Bible is supposed to be read. We're supposed to listen to preaching. We're supposed to meditate on His word. And we're supposed to study it. That's all clearly found in the scriptures. It's just whether or not we do it. That last point, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves, is the part we get stuck on. Yes, we should do all those things. Are you letting it slip through? I don't want to let it slip through. Have I let it slip through in the past? Definitely. Am I perfect? Far from it. Do I want to be honest and know what God's will is for my life? Is we need not to let it slip through. It says, Samuel did not let his words fall to the ground. At least that's the application I believe from that verse. If you want to say, is that the Lord upheld Samuel's words, I think that's even more powerful illustration because Samuel did what was right and God let his words stand true because he was a prophet of God. Either way, you can look at it. But we know what God's will is when it comes to our Bible reading. So when we come to this in my life, am I going to care about this? So when we talk about these other things, if the Bible isn't right, the other things are going to be, maybe I should, maybe I shouldn't. If I can't read my Bible today, why should I care about what the Bible says about this? I missed this part. Encourage you tonight. Give God that blank check. I see you, Lord. If your word says it, I'm going to obey it. Whatever it is that you want me to do, that living sacrifice, I am not going to let this world conform me into its image. I'm going to let the Bible conform me into God's will and say, Lord, whatever it is you want, I'm willing to do. Let's pray.